Welcome back to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm Bill Humphrey. Still in studio with me is Nate. We're going to talk now about the European elections. There's a number of possible angles to talk about this. We have a very long article on arsenalfordemocracy.com, a guest post by my friend Etienne Baracco, and he is a national counselor with one of the political parties in France and a friend of mine, and he wrote a post on the recent European elections. Those are the elections for the European Parliament. You know, a number of seats are given out to each country depending on their population. Everyone gets to directly elect the members of parliament within their country who are going to go represent their country in parliament. And then those different parties who get, those people who get elected as members of the European Parliament, then have special parties that are European-wide parties, sort of coalitions, basically, or internal blocks of different parties. So the Party of Europe, European Socialists, for example, has all of the mainstream socialist, social democratic, and labor parties from across Europe, and so on and so forth. The big feature of these most recent European elections, as explored in great detail in that article, was the rising populism, primarily on the right, in those elections. In other words, the centrist parties and the center-right parties, mainstream conservative parties, including the Conservative Party in Britain, losing out big time to parties that were either far-right, nationalist, Euroskeptic, or neo-Nazi. Those are different categories, not all overlapping within the frame of populism, but primarily they were on the right side of the spectrum, which meant that they were taking away votes from those center-right blocks in the European Parliament. Most problematically, in Greece, was the 10% of the vote won by Golden Dawn. It wasn't the biggest vote share, certainly, but 10% is nothing to sneeze at. On the strength of the 10%, they won three seats in the European Parliament representing Greece. Greece is a founding NATO member, although I believe they dropped out briefly for a while, but they were one of the original founders of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They have been a very heavily militarized country for the entire course of the 20th century after winning independence because they were up against Turkey right next door, or previously the Ottoman Empire. And they've continued to have a very high emphasis on the military role there, even in recent decades, although less so since the last military regime fell in the 1970s. Greece has also been one of the early members of the European Union. I believe they were one of the founding 12 members of the European Union. And they, it's very troubling, not just that they've been sending anti-European integration parties in, but that they're sending openly neo-Nazi parties. Now, when I say openly, they weren't so completely open before the elections. They were consistently trying to claim that they weren't actually neo-Nazis, but the spokesperson of the party had a swastika tattoo, etc., etc. However, one recent development that happened in the aftermath of the elections about a couple weeks later was that they started having rallies in the country where they were waving Nazi symbols on flags and things like that and singing Nazi songs with Greek lyrics and various other things like that. Just basically openly celebrating Nazism, which is a bit much coming from a country that was brutally occupied by the Nazis during World War II. But I think that maybe some of these people were sympathetic to that position during World War II, or at least their ancestors were. And this is in contrast with the Greek left that has a problem with the austerity policies of the European Union. This is a party that openly rejects the European Union concept as a whole, and apparently rejects minorities, human rights, freedom, people who don't vote for them, etc., etc. Most of their party leaders are wanted for or being investigated for actual murder. You know, this is very similar to what we talked about in the earlier segment about all these sort of far-right terrorist groups or radical non-right terrorist groups who use extortion and kidnapping and murder as their standard tactics. This is something that we've seen here as well. The Golden Dawn, a very vicious party. Nate, what were your thoughts on this sort of coming out party by the Golden Dawn after their electoral success, where they're just basically openly saying they're Nazis?
Well, I mean, I think it's great. You know, just got to show your true colors. I'm just looking at a picture of here, one of their flags. Just kind of looks like half of a swastika. So, you know, just wearing it loud and proud. Also, a lot of good quotes here in this Guardian article I'm reading of various Golden Dawn supporters. Let's not forget all the gays and the Jews, and he did not say gays. The wankers who control the banks, the foreigners who are behind them, who came in and Greece. I don't care that 6 million Jews died. What does that have to do with my paycheck and the job that I lost? So, you know, just sort of your typical rhetoric of a right-wing party. I mean, first of all, this, the whole thing, the whole comparison with like the Holocaust, the never ending taxes that I'm forced to pay, the criminals rule this country, the anger I carry inside, blah, blah, blah. I mean, okay, first of all, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, I think we're getting an insight into why the ADL, and I mean, we have our problems with the ADL, but they found that Greece was at 69% to be the most anti-Semitic country in Europe. And I mean, I don't know if those numbers are 100% accurate, but I doubt it's too far off.
It's a clear callousness, certainly at minimum, which is just, you know, as that quote shows, it's foreigners, it's various endangered minorities of various, you know, ethno-religious or orientation, any of those factors. These are legitimate threats, you know, being made. This is a party that has committed violence at the highest levels against people they disagree with. This is a very dangerous ideology that they've endorsed, and they clearly don't care that they're embracing. They understand that they're embracing a party that caused the Holocaust, and they do not care.
Yeah, I mean, their candidate for the mayor of Athens sports a swastika tattoo and apparently assaulted two left-wing female politicians during a live TV show, which is a good look. They're connected to the murder of a anti-fascist rapper who was murdered at the hands of a self-confessed party cadre member. So basically just, I guess, someone went off on their own and killed some random person who was opposed to their politics.
Right. And I think they've had a lot of issues of them having a lot of guns.
Yeah. Oh, well, obviously.
One of the big problems that we've seen from this Golden Dawn party is that they seem to think that the problems, again, there's a lot of problems in Europe, especially within the populist frame, of not really understanding who's to blame for the problems that they're facing on their end, like at the kind of the end user end in the street, you know, the person on the street. How does what's happening affect them? Where is that ultimately coming from? The Golden Dawn response is to blame the Jews or the banks or the foreigners. And the, you know, the Greek left, the Greek quote unquote radical left, which doesn't seem all that radical in comparison to the radical right here. Their position is, no, the problem is austerity measures that are being enforced without really considering the consequences, sort of a failure to understand how these policies are going to translate, punishing average people for the mistakes of their leaders or for past debt manipulations and things like that, which were problems, but this is not necessarily the solution. And the problem is then these cuts are very painful and they radicalize segments of the population who then blame the wrong people in some cases, rather than realizing where the ultimate problem lies. One of the examples that we get is the Golden Dawn railing against tax evasion by foreigners. That's one of their planks that was mentioned in the article that Nate was quoting from The Guardian. They say that the problem of Greece's debt situation and all that is that the quote-unquote foreigners in Greece are not paying their taxes and are evading their taxes. This is, as far as I can tell, the silliest thing that has ever been said on the topic of Greek tax evasion, because as has been widely documented by some fairly intense investigative journalism from around the world, Greece has a very, very serious problem with tax evasion at an epidemic, pervasive, citizen-wide level. This is not a problem limited to their ultra-rich. This is not a problem limited to the organized religion. This is not a problem limited to the foreigners. This is a problem that, yes, does involve pretty much all of those populations, but only because it affects everyone. Almost everyone in Greece, as far as we've been able to figure out, evades paying their taxes. And you might say, oh, well, this means the tax burden is too high. And indeed, Greece does have a very high tax burden by percentage. But that tax percentage has only gone up because the Greek government can't figure out how to collect the taxes they've already imposed. So they're just hoping that if they keep ratcheting it up, that more money will come in by people saying, okay, well, I'm not going to pay the full whatever percent, but I'll pay that percentage minus a bunch. And that's probably not going to work either. But Greece has a very serious tax evasion problem, and that's how they ended up having all this debt situation. And then the European Union not being very flexible on the debt situation causes a very vicious cycle here. But it's not foreigners who are the problem in Greece. It's that there's a epidemic level of tax evasion going on and a clear lack of people making a connection between the money that I put in is the services that I get out. So if I put money in and I want to get paid or I want to keep these generous benefits or I want these basic health services, because it's not just a, you know, generous overpayment, it's also the basics that have been taken away. If you don't pay in, you don't get these things out. If you want them, you got to pay in. And that, you know, I hate to sound like I'm lecturing here, but when it comes down to people then translating this into blaming foreigners and minorities and embracing Nazis, that's a problem where the rest of the world is going to want to start stepping in and being a little bit condescending.
In this Guardian article, there's also an interesting quote from Dimitris Passaris, who is the author of the Black Bible of Golden Dawn, which is an interesting a book about, you know, sort of their growth in the past, or in recent years, and exploring their history. He says, Greece's deep cultural differences with the rest of Europe after the Second World War, it did not undergo real democratization because we had civil war, 46 to 49, and after that, the deep state was never really purged of extreme right-wing elements. Even when it was a small group, Golden Dawn had ties to the Greek state. And they fielded retired generals. They have military ties. I mean, we're talking about a group that just shares a lot of the similarities to, I mean, they would be right at home during the Civil War era times, you know, when you just had fascist remnant parties fighting with, you know, communist parties and all sorts of stuff like that. You know, we see these kind of deep state elements in places like Turkey, which, you know, periodically has a military uprising against the democratic government. There are just all these ties in a lot of these countries. I mean, we're seeing examples, obviously, with the two I just mentioned, but there are, of course, many other examples around the world where there are these extreme right-wing groups, many of which, you know, sort of were founded in an extremely different time where basically coup d'etats were almost, you know, just expected, common, this sort of just what happened at a certain point. And, you know, now they've sort of tried to stick their toes into the democratic process. And of course, they're not really suited for it. So they go about with these mass demonstrations and get involved in guns and murder and all sorts of stuff like that. So, you know, we're just seeing a very worrying rise across Europe of these types of parties. And even in countries where you don't necessarily think you'd see a right-wing movement, you know, Denmark recently, there was a strong showing for the Danish People's Party, which is kind of, I wouldn't say it's quite to the level of Golden Dawn in terms of outright embrace of Nazism.
Right, but it's very nationalist, but, and, it won first place.
Anti-immigrant, I haven't heard any particular racial rhetoric, but yeah, probably anti-Muslim immigrant, anti-brown foreigners in general. I mean, it's in every country. So it's really disheartening to see. But I mean, I guess it's to be expected. There's a lot of racial problems in Europe that in some ways we don't have in the U.S., or they're sort of more under the surface.
There are problems, but they're a different set of problems.
Yeah. And of course, not saying the U.S. is, in any way, shape or form free of any sort of racial problems, but, it's kind of a different situation just in terms of how people have responded to just the introduction of more and more non-white, immigrants, and whether their culture is able to sustain that type of influx that we found is entirely possible in the U.S. because we've been doing it for, 300-400 years, something like that. We've done okay.
Right. Although on the other hand, these other countries, many of them got their independence and formed their concept of a nation state as, you know, those two concepts, the state being the territorial and governmental entity, and then the nation being the group of people within it. And that the concept of the nation, in contrast with the American concept of the nation, the concept of the nation in Europe was very ethno-linguistically centered. I mean, that was obviously a big factor in the Balkan conflicts of the 1990s, but it goes way back much longer than that, which is this idea of, can the idea of the nation state survive an influx of outsiders if those outsiders cannot be merged into the dominant ethnicity? Because if your concept of who we are is ethnically based, that's going to present problems eventually.
Yeah, I mean, and they're just going to have to be flexible if they, you know, have any hope of maintaining that type of a concept as a nation. Because, I mean, I think language can and should be an important to concept as a nation, but I don't think, you know, where your great-great-grandparents were born necessarily has to be. I think it is entirely possible to assimilate immigrants, and the question is, you know, is there a willingness to do it? Is there, you know, what is the response of the immigrants? Are they, you know, just maintaining their own customs? Are they, you know, eagerly embracing the customs of the state to which they've immigrated? So,
which they're probably not likely to do if they're not feeling very
exactly,
welcome.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's a two-way street. And we've talked about this many times in the U.S. as well. But, of course, in the U.S., the vast majority of immigrants eagerly embrace many aspects of American culture. And then you have a lot of people on the right, you know, complaining, oh, they speak Spanish sometimes and therefore they're not assimilated. Yeah, they speak Spanish maybe at home with their grandparents that, you know, never learned English, but I guarantee you most immigrants that come to the U.S. learn English very quickly. So, I mean, that just what has to happen. And, you know, this is a much more recent phenomenon in Europe. So they're way far behind the U.S. when it comes to dealing with the situation. So if you read U.S. history, you see just, and Bill talked about the know-nothings a little bit earlier in the show, you just see constant examples of our own struggles with this, and that continues today. So it's certainly not going to be easy, and it's not going to be quick, but hopefully we will not have too many more Golden Dawn-type parties getting, you know, actual votes, which is really scary.
All right. Well, Nate, thank you for joining me again here on Arsenal for Democracy to offer your insights on these various topics we've hit this week. Thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Arsenal for Democracy will be back in just a moment, so stick around.